Ben had to split out early to catch a plane to Brazil, so I'm going to try to do my best on his talk. It's something that he's been looking at over the last couple months. It's a large data set, and it covers about 14 years of plant bug research in Arkansas, and specifically just one location and a couple other trials thrown in from other locations. But we'll talk a little bit about how many trials that actually is and what kind of the breadth of the data set is. But we're going to work off the assumption that you know what plant bugs are and what they do to cotton. He didn't leave any room for introduction on that, but it's our most serious pest in Arkansas for sure. We did a little more than we actually have here, but he cut it down to 121 efficacy trials from 2005 to 2018. I think he got kind of surprised by the numbers that he actually had, the amount of data. He said it was actually 28,000 drop cloth like units that we actually sampled, so looking at around 14,000 experimental units that he used across the data set, and about 96% of the those drops in the plots or the things we used were actually at Lawn Man Research Station. So that's Marianna, Arkansas, so kind of in the central region of Arkansas on the delta close to the river, not too far from it. And it's kind of a unique area we have there, where we have a lot of wheat and corn grown on the station or near it, and then also we have a big ridge, which isn't very typical in the delta, and we get a large movement from plant bugs off that ridge and from the corn in the area actually onto our cotton, so we actually get really good numbers at this location. But Ben went through the data set, and he eliminated anything that where we didn't have threshold. I believe most of the data is going to be plots that were sprayed once nymphs arrived, so these are at threshold with nymph numbers. Most of these trials aren't going to be spraying on adult numbers, and that's something we've kind of moved to with a lot of our research. All of these are sprayed with the Mudmaster at 10 GPA. They're hollow cone nozzles, and they're all sprayed exactly the same. And he analyzes with Jump 14, and if you have used Jump, you'll recognize basically all the figures he used, and then separated it with the HSD. But he used alpha value of 0.05, which typically we use 0.1 when we're just showing on a yearly data. But with 14 years, I think he wanted to jump a little more significant on that. So this is just showing you the typical numbers that we see across all the trials that we use in Marianna. As you can see, we average around 30 plant bugs per 10 row foot in our untreateds. So that's pretty significant considering well over three times threshold there. So these are very significant numbers, and it gives us a good opportunity to actually look at the ability for products to work, and if we're getting any slippage in products, it gives us a pretty good idea of that. And then generally these are done, I think sometimes we go in right around July 4th and we'll catch where the plant bugs have started to blow up already, but most of the time it's a week or two after that where we actually really get into doing most of our trials. And as you can see, kind of in the more mid to late July is where we have the majority of these applications occurring in our test plots. So just jumping right into the data, this right here is just showing you the percent control that we saw from 2014 to 2018. So this is only 5 years of the data, and then we'll move into more of the data after that, but he wanted to just break it down in just the last 5 years. What you see is that cefoxiflor transform is generally what we consider our standard, but it's not too much better than things like acephate and Bifenthrin. Especially when we're only looking at 2 to 4 days after treatment, whereas bifenthrin, we don't see decent levels of control at all when you use the alone. And then when you move to 5 to 8 days out, you can see that this is why we typically call transform our best treatment, because it does hold for a while. But novaluron also, although it doesn't by itself give the highest level of knockdown control at the beginning, it does have very good residual, and that's what he saw with this data. But things like bifenthrin, even carbine, even though you can get some good knockdown with carbine, it just doesn't really hold out. And then now we're going to move into looking at the data across the 14 years that he looked at. And we'll just look at percent control, because I think he wanted to be able to show whether or not we're seeing slippage from products, because we do have such a large and wide data set. And so first, looking at our OPs, so this is going to be dicrotophos and acephate. We're not seeing any decrease in the ability for it to kill plant bugs, but it looks like there's some increase, but that's not significant. So basically, we've been using acephate. We've been using a lot of acephate, especially in Arkansas. Guys just want to throw acephate in pretty much every time they're going across the field, and what we're seeing is it's still working just as well for us. We haven't seen any slippage in that. Pyrethroids are the exact opposite. We know that we have confirmed resistance to the pyrethroids in plant bugs, and what our data shows is that we do have a significant relationship between time and our percent control. So we have lost control over time, and that's something we've noticed. I think everybody who does research on plant bugs or tries to control plant bugs in their own fields knows that pyrethroids just aren't going to get you there when used alone. So Foxiflora, on the other hand, it's holding steady as we would expect. It's still our go-to treatment. We've been looking at it from 2008. He's allowed in trials from 2008, and it's doing pretty well and hasn't lost any control. Neonicotinoids, it's probably a little surprising to some people out there, but he sliced this up a lot of different ways. I know he went for the last 2 or 3 years, the last 5 years, and with our trials at Lawn Man, we haven't seen a decrease in the efficacy that we're getting, so we're still getting around that 60 to 70% control. I know that if you look at outside of that, people are not very happy with the level of control with neonicotinoids. But with the data that he looked at, he didn't see it, and he was so surprised that he cut it up a lot of different ways and couldn't get to show what kind of we're actually seeing in grower fields right now. Novaluron, same thing, it's maintaining control over time. But really what we want to get into is what we recommend, and that's, you know, adding in tank mixes for this pest. It's a pest that has a lot of resistance to things, and if you use the same product over and over, it seems to just not work throughout the season. And so the first column there, we have the single product, and that's the efficacy. This is what I was showing in the slides before, across the 14 years. And not all of these tank mixes are going to be for all 14 years of data, but for all the data that we have for them. Some of them are only 5 or 6 years where we actually looked at the tank mixes. But when you add in Novaluron, so that's what diamond is what we're typically calling it or using, you can see that for almost every case we're getting a pretty good increase, except for Transform. Where Transform, if you add in diamond, you're just not seeing the same benefit as you do, like with bifenthrin, where you go from 55% efficacy to 81%. So you're adding in a bifenthrin as a knockdown with the residual of a diamond. It gets you to the point where you're at one of the levels of product that you need. And then we get the same thing with adding bifenthrin to other products. So we have acephate. You get a little bit of increase, but to a lot of the other ones, if you add in bifenthrin with it, we do see pretty good increases of efficacy. Novaluron, for example, when you put it by itself, you get some level of knockdown. We have 66.9% control, but when you add in just bifenthrin, which by itself doesn't work that well, gets you up to 81% control. So using the two different modes of action seems to be highly beneficial when dealing with this pest. So now we're going to look at some of these combinations and our data over time and just show you kind of what we've seen in control and then with the combinations. So the first one is bifenthrin. As I mentioned before, we've lost control over the last 14 years. Looking at acephate by itself, we haven't lost control. When you add them together, you get a little bit better control. And especially in the field, that's what we've observed, where acephate bifenthrin is generally the go-to in Arkansas for growers. That's what they want to use most of the time is what I've observed. Looking at Biodrin, we see a very similar situation going on. Get just a little bit of increased control with bifenthrin, even though by itself it's not giving you much. Novaluron is with acephate is very interesting. You can see that with acephate, you do get a good bit of control, and I need to say this, the bottom there has changed. It's now days after treatment. So now we're looking at residual instead of just efficacy over the years. Now we're looking at residual. So what you see with acephate is that it tends to not have the greatest residual when used alone, but when you add in Novaluron, which by itself doesn't have that much of a knockdown power, when you put them together, you get kind of a better knockdown with a better residual. So it kind of works together and having a pretty good application. That's something that a lot of people use, especially that 3 weeks after squaring, where you can get a good diamond application out and then get the knockdown of with acephate. With Biodrin, it's pretty much the same thing going on. You get a large increase in your residual when you add it in with diamond. We still see the residual with diamond, but you get the knockdown power that it has with Biodrin without the loss of the residual. Transform, it's already has a good level of residual. I mean, this is an expensive shot too, so that's part of it. It's a lot of money putting them together. And it's not really giving you too much more when you're adding these two products together. Midacloprid, that's pretty similar to what we looked at before. You don't really get much residual control with the midacloprid, and probably more especially so now, where most people are not really wanting to recommend imidacloprid, even though in our trials it is showing that we haven't really lost it over time. We do know that it doesn't have much residual, but especially earlier in the season with Diamond, it seems to have a good knockdown and good residual. So just in general, what he's really trying to show with this data, and what he really found after looking at the data, because he was given a large data set that has been used, and he's been a part of collecting a lot of that data in the past too. And what he found right away is that it really shows what everyone in the Mid-South knows, is that we don't have control with pyrethroids anymore. It also shows that pyrethroids are efficacious at increasing the efficacy of other products when added in unison. So even though we do lose control by itself, it does add something to other products, and especially with the price point we have them at. And then Novaluron added with almost everything increases residual control. I know a lot of the other talks we've had are just talks about how Novaluron does more than just killing nymphs. It affects the adults, affects egg laying potential, and it adds a lot to these other products, increasing residual. There's still a lot more analysis to do with Ben. He works on it like every single day over the Christmas break and everything, so he's still got a long way to go. And he's seen some things in the data that he's not willing to show just for the fact that it is Mariana, it is Lawn Men Field Station, but he wants to try to get to more of a combination of the whole Mid-South and see if some of the trends that he's seen are more than just, you know, just fake trends that are only true at Mariana across those years. And he also wants to look at how past rainfall and temperature has affected the densities at Mariana. So if you have any questions, I'll try my best to answer them. And if not, there's Ben's email and phone number. You can call and complain to him about what he showed, not me. So.
Any questions for Aaron? All right, thank you so much.